Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. And today, we're going to be discussing midweek-ish news. It's not Wednesday. Why are we doing news? I'll explain in a minute. So if you don't mind, hit the share button if you're listening live, bottom left-hand side of the screen here on Clubhouse. And if you're listening via podcast, please do me a favor. Share this with a fellow podcaster. And then if you don't mind, give us about 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Thanks for being here this morning. I am Mark Ronick. I got to get used to the whole intro thing. And today, we are digging into the news, but it's Tuesday, you say. And we usually do this Wednesday. Well, tomorrow, we are bumping the news, which is why we're covering it today, because tomorrow we're going to have Lloyd George join us as a guest. We're going to have some good conversations around the world of podcasting, not headlines, but we're going to be talking about some of his areas of expertise. And of course, we're going to also be discussing the Empowered Podcasting event coming up June 28th through the 30th. Lloyd has become a partner in crime in this. He has been an integral part of the planning process, and it's about time he gets to know this community and vice versa. So he will be joining us on Wednesday morning. I have failed you because I don't have handy some of the topics we were going to talk about. And so I'm stalling to find my list of things. Yes, here we are. So some of the things Lloyd said he would love to talk about, which are really some things he has figured out pretty well, podcast sponsorship, using social media to grow your podcast and podcast newsletters. So we'll talk about those things and, of course, any questions you have along the way, whether it's today, you can come up here today and bring up your questions, or tomorrow, or any day, Monday through Friday. So with that, it was a bit of a curveball since I had to rearrange the schedule and admittedly was having some trouble coming up with the icebreaker question for this morning. So before we dive into the news, I'm going to allow the moderators and anybody else who wants to participate to pick one of these two questions. And this is about really more about your experience as a podcast listener, not as a host or a producer. So here are your two questions, Nick. We're going to kick it off with you. The two you can choose from. If you could turn any book into a podcast series, which one would you choose? And the other question, what's a podcast you listen to that might surprise everyone? Your choice, Nick. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I almost exclusively listen to books on Audible, so I feel like I almost am listening to a podcast in that regard. So I'm going to go with the other question. And that one's tough, too, because I don't listen to any, like, out-of-the-box podcasts. I guess I would say the one that would probably be most surprising is that I have listened to. I don't currently listen to it, but before the whole Spotify acquisition thing happened, I had listened to Call Her Daddy. And that's about it. And then when Spotify bought them out, I was out.
All right, that's fair. And that counts. I like that answer. It doesn't have to be recently that for this series that you listen to that might surprise anyone. So I like that. Thank you, Nick. Thanks for playing along. And I'm coming to you, Walt. It's your choice. You can answer, what's a podcast you listen to that might surprise everyone? Or if you could turn any book into a podcast series, which one would you choose? Good morning, Walt.
Good morning. I thought I was going to answer the book one, but I'm like, you know what? I have no idea. I do not know. So a show that I listened to, there's a show called Better Call Daddy. And it's this woman, I met her because I was doing these audio events on LinkedIn. And, for those who haven't experienced those audio events, I think are like, It's one of my favorite features on the platform. It's just really easy to meet people when you either host or join as a guest or something like that. But anyways, she used to be a producer on, I think it's the Maru Show. And she has like a really very incredible journey. But she started a show with her dad where they would, she would have conversations with people just about their life and everything, and then end up talking about, relationships with their father. If they have any interesting story related to that. And then, like, towards the end, they have, like, a segment where her dad will kind of respond to the story and provide, advice type of thing. So it's almost like, being able to ask your dad for just thoughts and advice, even when you're a grown adult and stuff. So it's just a very well-produced show. But hosted by Rena Friedman Watts. So yeah, Better Call Daddy.
I like that concept. That's a cool idea to get people's stories and then get the dad to chime in on it. I think that's really clever. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Thank you, Walt. Thanks for sharing. Better Call Daddy. I might have to check that out. That's cool. All right, Sid, we're coming to you. And everybody seems to be leaning on what's a podcast you listen to that might surprise everyone. But I won't lean on that one and make you answer it. You could also answer if you could turn any book into a podcast series, which one would you choose? It's up to you, Sid. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to be a little bit more generic. And I'm going to say that any book that is a autobiography book or a book about your story or your life where you're sharing lessons. Let's use David Goggins as the example. I think most people know who David Goggins is, and he wrote a couple of really amazing books, right? I think the book, to Nick's point about listening, the book should actually be, and the audiobook should actually be a combination of the book being read and a podcast. And David Goggins did this in his second book where he had his ghostwriter on with him who read the book, and midway of chapters or end of chapter, they would stop and David Goggins would come in and they would have a 5 to 10 minute podcast conversation about the chapter and what the takeaways were, what happened, more intimate details of the story, if you will. And I thought it was really, really well done and very powerful. And I think so. I personally think you should combine the two together to be more impactful.
I love that. Thank you, Sid. I often feel that way about audiobooks. It feels like it's a lost opportunity for so many because, you can really extend it out. And with the popularity of podcasts, I think a lot of listeners would really enjoy something like that. That bonus material for that the book doesn't offer. I like that. Thank you, Sid. Cynthia, good morning. Now, I'm going to make a wild guess, being that you're an author, you may lean toward, if you could turn any book into a podcast series, which one would you choose? And you're also welcome to answer instead, what's a podcast you listen to that might surprise everyone? So good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me this
morning. We can.
All right. No mic.
Ah.
I don't know why that worked. I don't know. Anyway, I like the idea of reading the book and then discussing. I think that's I like that concept. A series, I like listening to Regencies. So any Regency style book, I believe I would go for that.
Well, there you go. Do you want to elaborate a little bit? Because I'm going to just admit it. I'm not sure what a Regency book would be.
It is a story that is set in Victorian times.
Ah. Okay, so that would yeah, okay. A podcast set in Victorian times and being a story being told as a podcast. I like that. That's cool. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Alex. Alex, good morning to you. Which one did you want to choose? I'm going to guess you're choosing what's a podcast you listen to that might surprise everyone.
No. I listen to two podcasts. That's it. And I just don't have time. I like to try to listen to stuff, but I have a long queue of stuff that I need to listen to. But you know what? I love historical fiction books, or nonfiction books, you know, good stories. A book that would be kind of neat to see into a podcast is it's a famous book, Good to Great. And just talks about why certain businesses are successful versus why businesses aren't successful. And I just think it's just a great topic. I know probably people have done different things like that already, but it would just kind of be neat to hear those kind of stories.
Love it. Thank you, Alex. Thanks for playing along. And let's see, we've got Dominic and we've got DR up here as well. We're going to go to them both. And I also may squeeze in a little bit of news in between. Dominic, good morning to you. We have a choice today. It might be the first time ever. You can choose between these two icebreakers. What's a podcast you listen to that might surprise everyone? Or if you could turn any book into a podcast series, which one would you choose? Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning. I hope everybody is well. Today's menu item is pizza. Oh, it's pizza today.
Nice.
Let's go with a podcast people may be surprised I listen to. There's a podcast called Just want to make sure I get the title right. You Must Remember This. So it's a podcast about just stories from old Hollywood, like the golden era. So like the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And so they just, you know, tell stories about like that era. So I think the last series I watched was about like this crossover. Well, it was about two people. It was about Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool. I like that show.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. That would be a cool one to listen to, some of those old school stories. A lot of them lost or forgotten. So yeah, that would be fun to listen to.
For sure. What was that called again?
You must remember this. Yeah. You Must Remember This. I wrote it down. Cool. Thank you, Dominic. Okay, I am going to go to DR, and I see Amanda has joined us on stage, and I'm going to get to some news first, and then we will take a break in that action. First, let me share some podcast data news for you. As of today, the number one podcast on Apple, no, it's not the Joe Rogan Experience, which it has been for, it feels like, quite some time now. It's a podcast named Three. It's a true crime podcast from Waveland. And number one on Spotify, yes, it is the Joe Rogan Experience. And over the last week, 212,821 podcasts published at least one new episode, which is down 0.5%. And I have a couple of extra figures for you. Triton Digital's U.S. podcast ranker, which measures participating publishers only, has been released for February. Total downloads appear to be down year over year by 41%. And Pod News blames, as they say here, thanks to Apple's iOS 17 changes. If you don't follow Pod News, they definitely seem to I'm playing this up a bit, but they seem to enjoy blaming Apple for the issues with downloads lately. And rightfully so, because the changes do seem to have made some impact on the download numbers. And just pointing that out, that they like, it seems like they like to go to that. Also, here's another segment to the data feature on our news days. I want to start including this stat from Buzzsprout, their global stats. You are in the top 25 of podcasts based on Buzzsprout's data, right? And they are one of the top podcast platforms. So I think that this is a good sampling. All the podcasts that use Buzzsprout, if you are receiving 119 downloads on an episode within the first 7 days of release, you're in the top 25. I'll say it again, top 25 podcasts, if you've had 119 downloads within the first 7 days of an episode being published, you're top 25. If you're curious, top 1%, you would need 4,896 downloads in that first week. So we'll do that. I like sharing this particular stat because I think it helps us connect with where we actually are in this game. And I will also I can't preface it because I've already said all this. And what I'll say is downloads are really not everything. And they are a measurement. They are a way to measure your podcast's growth. It just, the reason why we say it's not everything is because just because you get a download doesn't mean somebody's actually listening. That's the thing. So they could download every episode, but if nobody's listening to it, it's not effective. It's not effective for you. It's not effective for advertisers, etc. Does anybody feel like they've noticed a decrease in their numbers? I know I referenced that Pod News likes to blame Apple and their changes to iOS 17. Does anybody feel like things have slowed down for them? Walt? Yeah, go for it.
So I do think it's funny that you say Pod News likes to blame Apple, because I do know the guy, James, I forgot his last name, but he's spoken a bunch about, like, you don't always have to promote Apple. There's other platforms. So it's a theme. But I would side with him, or not really side with him, but just agree that the change in Apple does play a huge part in this as well, just because it's had like a major impact on everyone from independents to like major networks. So yeah, I think not everyone is as affected, but for a majority of people with like large catalogs of shows, there's a huge drop in downloads. So but I have seen it starting to pick back up. I don't think it's going to go back to exactly how it was, because it's now just a change. I call it like a blip almost. But as far as like, you know, numbers to look at, I think downloads, it's just like about the story, right? Because analytics and data, they tell a story. I think the other two numbers to take a look at, if your post provides it, is like unique listeners and consumption time, which you could definitely see on Apple Podcasts, but some hosts will display it as well. So
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Walt.
Everything's down. Run. It's a
fire. Yeah. And yeah, I agree with you. You can get those categories, you can get both of them from Apple for sure, from Spotify as well. Yeah, unique listeners and that retention rate. How long are your audience listening on average? Nick, you had something, and then I want to check in with John because he came up here during this part of the conversation. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I more had a question about that. Like, what is it about the changes Apple made that is causing that decrease? Is it like a lack of discoverability? Or is it something where Apple's kind of trimming fat to where your download numbers may be a little bit more true and not as inflated?
I can attempt to answer that. And Amanda's hand went up right as you asked that. So Amanda, do you have an answer or a follow-up question?
Yeah, I just wanted to add because it was a problem that I was having recently, and I found out that it wasn't just my specific platform. It was, you know, multiple platforms. So I use Podbean, but I know other people who use Buzzsprout and other platforms were experiencing the same thing with Apple. One of the issues was a delay in launching new episodes. I noticed for Apple, my episodes on several occasions within the last couple of months, like month or two, would not go up on that the exact time that I set them to be released. It was hours later, late in the day. The one time it was really like hours later. And then the most recent time it was a couple hours after launch day. It was like earlier in the afternoon. So I know that was one of the issues that Apple was having.
Okay, fair enough. And Walt, I saw your hand come up too. Did you want to answer Nick's question?
Yes. So yeah, it's more of a trimming of the fat type of thing. So essentially, basically Apple auto downloads a lot of episodes and it took up a lot of storage. And so this feature is actually something that benefits listeners more than podcasters. So I don't remember like the full details of it. And I would actually recommend looking it up. There's been a lot of coverage over it, but essentially, it stopped with the auto downloads of shows, or it doesn't do it the same way. Past catalogs don't really get pushed as much, but it's kind of a way to, instead of just auto downloading everything, people actually have to choose to listen to something or choose to download something. So it's a way to save storage. And that's like a very kind of general
summary of it. I think, that's the way I understand it too. It's a way that they basically cut down on those automatic downloads. So now the player isn't downloading episodes the way it used to automatically to your player. Nick, did you have a follow up?
Yeah. So to me, like I know I've seen a lot of people posting about it and frustrated and kind of pissed off about the fact that their download numbers are low, but I almost kind of see it as somewhat of a good thing because you might have skewed numbers. Like Mark said, downloads don't necessarily equate to listens. So if someone subscribed to your podcast, say a year ago, and they haven't listened in the past year, like you're getting downloads that make your numbers look better. You might feel good about it in the moment because you're like, ooh, look at all these downloads, but yet they have not listened to a single one of those episodes. Now they're, if you're getting the download, someone is actively choosing to download that episode. So you know that there's a better chance of them actually listening to it and not just being an automatic thing that's happening in the background. That's my thought. I might be
now different opinions there. It's a more accurate depiction of everything. It does suck, though, because especially with independence, it affects your money. Like if you're on like networks, you might have to have hard conversations with people as well. So it sucks, but it also is a good thing at the same time. Such a weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's inflated numbers that everybody got used to. And now they're upset because the numbers aren't inflated anymore. I mean, that's what it comes down to, I think. John, good morning. You came up here during this part of the conversation. What did you want to add?
Yeah, first, my downloads dropped about, on average, about 35% after Apple made those changes. And everybody's right. They stopped the automatic downloads, and there are certain requirements you have to get that. Now, here's the problem. Downloads and streams on most podcast analytics are reported in the same category. Podcast advertisers, when it comes to baked-in ads, meaning they're part of your show, they go by IAB-certified stats when it means downloads. In order to get a listen, you got to download it first. There's no other way to get it. If you got an audio show, they got to download it first. So just because it's downloaded and they don't listen right away doesn't mean they won't later on. But that's just the lay of the land, the way that things are now. So what I focus on is, what do I have to do to constantly work on discoverability of my show? And go with the mindset of, downloads are important in that it's the first step in the process to gain a listener. What percentage of people can you get to turn into rabid listeners of your show within your first 5 minutes? That's really, really rich, your first 5 minutes. But yes, I did notice a decrease. The good news is there's more active listeners to the show. The bad news is the numbers have dropped. That's just, and it's not just for me, it's for everybody. So they level the playing field with everyone. So if it was just me, I'd really be worried.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Sid, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I just have a question. So if I go to Apple Podcasts, I too, by the way, have seen a download decrease. If I go to Apple Podcasts and I hit the browse button and I find a show I have never listened to and I hit the play button, it's downloaded it before it plays it for me? Is that what I heard you say, John?
No, it depends on a stream. So sometimes it's kind of is a stream, but streams and downloads are reported the same way in your podcast analytics. It depends on your browser settings. A lot of what Apple does is, and I'm not an expert, but these do automatic downloads. If someone subscribed or followed your show, they automatically got new episodes downloaded. So you got credit for that. Now it's about, I think it's 14 days.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't listen to a show. So for example, if you follow a new show and they put out 5 episodes and you ignore the last 3, more than likely you won't get notification again from Apple. The new episodes are out. That's where the real bugaboo is. So that's why you have to use compelling titles to get people's attention right away. And to display what shows up in the notification and get them to at least listen to a couple minutes of it. Otherwise, they eventually become blind to you. And if Apple, for me, is, I'd say it's more than 95% of my podcast consumers. I promote my website, and they can choose what platform they want to go from there.
Thanks, John. Yeah, go ahead, Walt.
You're so quick, Mark. I was about to say, link to pin, but that kind of covers the change. Speaks to what John just mentioned, and Apple's like official thing is they said before iOS 17, when a listener would unpause automatic downloads, because you can pause them for shows, you could turn them off by default, etc. But essentially, when you would unpause automatic downloads, the system would automatically download all unplayed episodes. And with iOS 17, Apple Podcasts will not download previous episodes and will resume automatically downloading new episodes. So, yeah, it's basically like it definitely affects, like, John, how many episodes do you have?
About 600 plus.
Oh, yeah. See, so that would, like, huge impact on John. Someone with a smaller catalog might not see the same whatever that word is, but yeah.
Drop, decrease.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And thank you, Walt, for getting that scoop, digging in and finding that additional info. Yes, that is shared here at the top of the page if you're listening live, and it is in the show notes if you're listening to the podcast. Thank you, Walt. I appreciate that. And thank you all for chiming in on that. I think, yeah, it's a tough one. And I do think ultimately, I think it was Nick who said it. Yeah, it sucks for podcasters in some ways, but it is telling more of the real story. And I think that's what's most important to me,
is that I know what that I can trust the data, and I can and then I can understand it, then I can strategize. So we'll see. I think eventually this will be a story that goes away, because I don't think Apple's going to change it back, and nor do I think they should. Okay, let's see. I do want to get to the question as well, the icebreaker, and I want to also make sure I'm covering some of the news as well. So I want to remind you that there aren't a ton of big events coming up, but there is, of course, Podcast Movement, which is coming up. That is coming up March 26th in LA. So if you're in that area and you haven't made plans yet, and you maybe have some time, I would recommend checking it out. Admittedly, have not been to the Evolutions version of Podcast Movement. I've only been to the main show that usually happens in August, but I've heard a lot of good things about it, and I've got a lot of colleagues and friends that are going to be there speaking on stages and visiting the event. So I do recommend it. And the other event I want to remind you of is our own conference, Empowered Podcasting, the weekend of June 28th in Charlotte, North Carolina. We are now accepting registration. Buy your tickets. Just go to empoweredpodcasting.com and click the link or the button to purchase your tickets. Who came off mic? Who wanted to say something? Anybody? Okay. Yeah, so please go ahead and do that. We are now taking those orders for tickets, so you can get yours now. It's an early bird rate currently, so jump on that if you want to save some cash. And you'll also notice on the website you can't get to, you're not able to book the hotel yet, and I advise you not to go do it on your own just yet, because very soon we will have that available for you to do through the website, and you'll get a nice discount on the rooms. So please go ahead and do that. Empowered Podcasting, June 28th through the 30th. Yes, Dominic.
Oh, no, I just wanted to encourage people to, again, we're still accepting speakers, so please still feel free to get those speaker applications in if that's something that you want to do. And also, the same day in LA are the Ambies as well. And I think they may be streamed for anybody who doesn't want to, who won't be there. And so I'll be there, hopefully trying to win for my category. But yeah, just want to say the Ambies are the same day as Evolutions out in LA. So
very cool. Very cool. Yeah. So we'll have to see. That's next week. So yeah. And you said you're actually going to be there, Dominic?
Yes, I'll be there.
Awesome. Awesome. So we'll be cheering you on and expecting you'll be coming home with yet another trophy. So good luck, even though I don't think you're going to need it. All right. Let's see. I want to go to Nick, and then we'll go back to the question. Nick, I'm going to actually, I'll let you, because I know you are on limited time this morning. So go ahead and share. I know you have a couple stories, including one that you teased to me before we started, saying it's one that you think might piss me off a little bit. So now I'm very curious. Please share.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. But first, and if you want, Mark, you can share that Perplexity link. I'll send you another one here for the second article, but YouTube, I know we had discussed YouTube wanting to categorize AI-generated content, and they released more information about that and what that actually entails. So if your content is created using AI and it potentially impersonates someone or pretends to be something or say something that is not in fact true, you have to tag that as such. And the article there, the Perplexity link there, goes into talk about like animation type stuff, that kind of thing is pretty much fair game is what it sounds like. It's more trying to protect people from being falsely put out there, like saying things that they didn't actually say. And if you're fail to do it and they catch you failing to categorize that stuff yourself, then they can start pulling videos, they can start suspending your account, doing all that kind of thing. So I know that's been a topic of discussion. We've talked about some of the AI tools that allow you to recreate yourself or clone yourself or your own voice and things like that. This is kind of a step in that direction of protecting the creators and the people that could possibly be affected by it. So I thought that was good in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's an important step, and it's one that, yeah, this one doesn't piss me off. So this can't be the story. And yeah, I think it's an important thing that some of these platforms, especially one like YouTube, that's so big and so popular, that they are cracking down to make sure that we are protected, that our identities are protected. We'll see how well that works. But yeah, thanks for the story, Nick. Go ahead. Did you have the other one?
Yes, and I just texted you the other Perplexity link. I use Perplexity for everything, so it's technically not an article. It's like a series of articles. So we talked about Apple taking a big step into the AI game. And this one kind of intrigued me for a couple different reasons. And essentially, Apple is in discussions with Google about licensing Gemini to bring Gemini into iOS, which I thought was kind of fascinating because they've kind of hinted at having a lot of really powerful AI stuff in the works. And now they're turning to Google for some of that. Actually, a lot of it. They're talking about even revamping Siri with Gemini, which would essentially make it like the Google Assistant at the
Wow.
I thought that was really fascinating.
It is, and actually doesn't piss me off, but it's just crazy, though, to... It's not an Apple characteristic to partner up with Google on something like that. So it's just surprising.
And that was one of the things I was thinking about as I was reading through that. Like, that kind of partnership would be a massive freaking deal. Like, those are two giant companies that, in a way, control the market in their own respective fields now coming together. I think that's pretty crazy. I think either Apple's scared, or I'm pretty sure Google is scared with some of the AI stuff that's been kind of blowing them out of the water. So I wonder if it's kind of a thing where they're trying to protect themselves by making a big partnership, because we've heard Google partnering with Adobe earlier last year, and now conversations about licensing Gemini and Apple. I think it's
fascinating. It really is. Walt, did you want to ask a question, or did you have something?
Yeah, just it's kind of interesting, like, when you see all these corporations kind of partnering up, especially when, from a consumer's perspective, they look like competitors. But I was just going to say, this isn't like the first time Apple and Google have partnered, but this is like a whole nother level, for real. But, like, you know, Apple kind of leverages Google Search and Google Maps, and they have since, you know, beginning, like, a lot of stuff is powered by Google. So this is kind of just like the next frontier, I guess, but it's like the same thing. So they've been partnering with them, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And this feels like something different, because it feels honestly like it's a play to compete with OpenAI / Microsoft. Let's see, Alex, did you have something? Go ahead.
I have another different piece of news when you're ready.
Okay. We'll come to you in just a second. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. Nick, did you want to add anything else?
Yeah, I just want to add one more piece to this, because I started thinking about that, like Apple talking about they've got all this innovative AI stuff on the horizon. And I think that even though this potential partnership had been announced, it doesn't necessarily mean that Apple is not developing their own AI. With Android, like, I'm on one of the newer Android phones that has the quote unquote Galaxy AI, which is essentially Samsung's AI functionality. So I think Apple's still definitely working on their own AI products, but they're essentially trying to partner with Google to get AI in the hands of their customer base quicker, because they're talking about this being in iOS 18 is where this would potentially take.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that makes sense. All right, I'm going to go to Alex. Alex says he's got a news item for us. So yeah, go for it, Alex. What do you got to share?
So one of my guilty pleasures is watching Shark Tank. And there was this product that is free right now. They might have monetized it, the show. It's called Overplay. And what it does is it takes short content and turns it into a game, which I know doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but they have a patent on this type of technology. And basically, they can take any video and insert a game platform. Now, I'm not talking something really huge and developed, but it's just really neat. I'd love to see, not people use it, but to check out that episode. It was on last Friday, and the company's name is Overplay. And, you know, you always talk about engagement. This might be a kooky way for a lot of content/podcast creators to get a little bit more engagement. And I just thought it was kind of neat. And I finally have some news. So if it's not news, then...
I'll take that as news. Absolutely. I had not heard about that. I've got a link to the Overplay website at overplay.com to get to know this better. And I think you're right. I agree with you that this... Yeah, this is, we talk about engagement all the time. This is a cool way of creating engagement with a community. I think that's cool. So what it's doing is it's taking what kind of content specifically and gamifying it, Alex?
It can take any video and gamify it. So what you do is it's kind of like an editor. So you can insert, like for instance, if somebody is hitting a tennis ball, Or throwing a punch, that's what they were, that was the example that they brought. And you, every time they punch a jab, you press a button so that when the person wants the jab, it knows it needs to press that button. And, or whatever, or shoot a hoop, or open the mouth to eat something, or whatever it is. And it's not a long-term, it's not going to be like Fortnite or I can't think of Dead by Daylight or anything like that. It's just something, you know, I think it's maybe up to a minute, but they were just talking about that short-term content. So if you're looking for some different ways of engaging with your community, this might be a great way.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. And I'm a big fan of Shark Tank too. I've been watching it actually a lot more lately for some reason. So there you go. All right, here is how I will play out the last 15 minutes or so. I do want to go to Amanda Yoa because she has been waiting patiently, and I did have the choice of icebreaker questions. So Amanda, good morning. We'll get back to news in a moment. If you could turn any book into a podcast series, which one would you choose? Or what's a podcast you listen to that might surprise everyone? Amanda, are you there? There you are.
There I am. Sorry. I don't know. I would have to say if there was a book... I mean, I listen to real estate, if that's a surprise to anybody. I know I've talked about that in here, but if anyone didn't know that, I do listen to real estate podcasts. And if I were to turn a book or series into a podcast, it would have to be Game of Thrones. Would love for that to be a podcast.
Oh. So actually the story, the whole Game of Thrones story just turned into a podcast version? Is that what you mean? Or is it more like a breakdown? Like, what do you...
Yeah. Like, you know, I guess season by season.
Yeah.
And they would pick it up into seasons. And
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Cool. Yeah, I like that. Nick likes that. I see he's got the fire emoji going. I have only seen one episode of Game of Thrones. Yes, Alex?
What?
If you're looking for a great Game of Thrones podcast, we have one on our network.
So do tell.
Yes.
It's called House Podcastica. That's the name of the thing. And they've broken down every episode of the show. And when I say they get into detail, they get to detail. So, and they've also done Dragons, and they're, whenever the next Dragons is coming out, that's something. But yeah, House Podcastica is what we do.
Love that name, House Podcastica. Love that. All right, I'm going to come to you, DR. You can pick between those two icebreaker questions. What's a podcast you listen to that might surprise everyone? Or if you could turn any book into a podcast, which one would you choose?
Well, hell, I'm going to answer both of them. So okay. The one that I listen to is anything having to do with SNL, the old SNL. I love, there's a particular podcast that I can't remember. It's probably called SNL. The other one, I'm going to kind of bend the question a little bit. And it's not a book, but it is someone that I follow on TikTok. Her name is Maria Comstock, C-O-M-S-T-O-C-K. She is the daughter of an ex-CIA spy. And she comes on TikTok and says, answers to questions you've always wanted to ask a spy. And she asks all these really interesting questions. And her dad is sitting there in a big old comfy chair. And he just looks at the camera and he answers the questions. It's fascinating. It's so fascinating. And that's what I would turn into.
I love it. Podcast. I would listen to that podcast. That's cool. That's a great idea. What a great idea. Thank you for sharing that, DR. And thank you for being so consistent with this community and coming in. I know you're newer to the community and you seem to have slid right in and a great fit for all of us. So thank you for being here and thanks for all your contributions.
You know, I consider this like a classroom every morning, and I love it. This is the way I wake up now. So
I love that.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. That made my day. Thank you. I'm going to share a quick news story since we were on the topic of AI, and this is directly related to a podcaster specifically. If you've heard of Wondercraft, they're an AI platform. Basically, what they say is they transform your written work into high quality podcast productions, among other things, complete with music and a premium selection of AI voices. So recently, they have made an update, and I was just going to play it for you briefly, to those AI voices. We all know the AI voices have definitely surprised and in some cases scared many of us because of how accurate they are, how realistic they sound, especially when recreating someone's voice. However, what Wondercraft has now done is Wondercraft has added emotion and accents to their voices that they offer. And that includes your own voice. So you can upload your own voice as well. And, or you can use one from their list. And then what you can do is give it an emotion, give it an accent. So I'm going to play you briefly one of their stocked voices. Let me jump to it here. I already have the time code. I did a little prep beforehand. Please forgive me for the skipping. Here we go.
I'm excited to be showing you this for the first time. So I'll play just Anna. Everyone knows Anna by now, but I'll play that voice so that you can check it out.
Oh, you know me. I'm the Anna you're used to. Nothing to see here.
But we already know Anna. So let's go ahead and check out a different version of Anna. So Anna is here entering a different calm state.
Now, I decided to enter a deep state of meditation and really connect to my feelings.
But you know, Anna's usually a little bit more excited. So let's see how she's really, really excited.
But who am I kidding? I love life. I can't sit still. What are you all doing this weekend? Maybe I had too much Red Bull.
But Anna doesn't need to stay American. She can also switch to being Aussie. Let's check that out.
Do you want to throw another shrimp on the barbie, mate?
That's always amazing. And then let's check out British Anna as well, which is where Wondercraft is from.
You know, London is truly the best, and it's also Team Wondercraft headquarters. So next time you're around, give us a buzz.
Awesome. So this is available now as of today. Hope you really enjoy it. And
so there you go. Pretty good. Any thoughts? Nick, any thoughts?
The first couple that played definitely sounded more robotic. And then as they started mixing in the accents, and maybe it's just because it is a British company, or maybe it's just because I'm not as used to hearing the accent, but I felt like the last two were really good.
Yeah, me too. The accents were cool. The meditation voice, I mean, that's kind of an easy one. That's like a softball for teaching AI anything, because a lot of times those voices can be monotone, so it kind of works well. But you definitely heard a distinction between the original voice and then that more calm voice, I think they called it. Dominic, what you got?
No, that was pretty cool. Like Nick's point, some of them did kind of sound like, okay, I can kind of tell that's AI. But in situations like these, I'm not always looking for it to be perfect to be impressed. I'm always impressed by the trajectory of where it's going, because I'm thinking about where it was before. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. And now I'm listening to this like, oh, it's getting better. Right. So I'm always interested in that. And as Nick knows, when it comes to these things, I'm always thinking about the historical application that I can use it for. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. So, yeah, it's very, very impressive.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate that, Dominic. Hey, Walt, you have a story for us, don't you? Would you mind sharing?
Yes, yes, yes. A story that's like a continuous story, and I think there's going to be more from it as well. So last year, Don Lemon was, I always get his like name mixed up with the letters. But anyways, Don Lemon was let go from CNN. You know, a lot of people had mixed feelings on it, because he had he's made a lot of different comments over the years. And yeah, it's just an interesting situation. But he was let go from CNN. It's a big deal. Around the same time that Tucker Carlson was let go as well. And both of them ended up going over to X. They signed a deal with Mr. Musk. And we're like, yeah, we're going to have our show there. Don Lemon announced his show in January. According to him, Elon Musk had approached him and everything about having his show there, because he wanted to invest in diverse voices. Well, Don Lemon interviewed Elon Musk, and it's supposed to be his first of many new shows. And afterwards, Musk decided, yeah, nah, we're going to can this. And it's crazy because I haven't watched it yet. I think the episode actually premiered yesterday, but he didn't really push Musk all that much. It was some kind of general interviewing, but afterwards he felt like it wasn't something that X should partner with anymore. So I thought this was interesting, especially for podcasters. I think there's so many different ways to look at this. It's really like an onion type of news where there's so many different layers to peel back. Some make you cry. Some might taste a little delicious too. Some might be on Dominic's breakfast pizza thing if Zoe allows.
Don't tempt me.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very interesting. I think it's a lot of different conversations around, you know, owning your content. What platforms to push on. Dom Lemon's, he's continuing to broadcast to X as well as many platforms, but originally supposed to go to X first and then move on to others. So yeah, really interesting. Would recommend checking out the links. It's just a lot of layers to it. And yeah, be careful who you do business with.
Yeah. And you know, it does pose kind of an interesting question. Forgetting for a moment, you know, whether you like these people in this story or not, if you've got a platform that you've, you know, let's say you have your own podcast network and you bring somebody into that network and you give them a show on that network and you've made a business deal with them, and then before that show airs, you know, much like this situation, you do an interview with that host of that new show coming to your network, and they say things that maybe you don't feel like puts your brand in a good light, or they say things that you disagree with, Do you, you know, then how do you feel about that? Do you keep them on anyway? Right. So I think I'm not saying Elon Musk was right by any stretch. And all I'm saying is I would think twice if I had somebody on the show and they were saying things that weren't aligned with me. I would think twice. But, you know, I don't know the details of their arrangement. And it is a pretty big name for them to drop like that. But yeah, I mean, who knows how we would feel if we were in their shoes, right? Go ahead, Nick.
I completely agree with you. And I what kind of pisses me off about the whole situation is that it is a social media platform. It's not like his own personal thing that he's built, like his own network. Like it's an open platform. And that's what I don't understand. Like he's treating it like it's its own website, and he's, it's like he's gatekeeping his own website from many people. And I don't know. I feel like Musk has made a lot of decisions lately that just like made me scratch my head. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know if that's a place I want to be on. Seems like a very toxic.
It does.
Scary place.
Yes, I agree with you. And I should say, you know, I have no idea, even because this is relatively news to me, and I have no idea what was said or, you know, so I'm certainly not defending anything about this story. I'm trying to take it more from a broad view and thinking, well, what if that happened to me? And somebody came on my network saying stuff that, like I said, wasn't aligned with me. That would bug me, and it would make me think twice. All right, let's see. Any other stories? We only have a few minutes left. I will share, let's see. Yeah, you know what? Let's wrap it here, and I'll save some of this. I will give you a heads up. Look into Blueberry, Blubrry. Their podcast hosting platform, among other things. They have come up, they have a lot of new tools, new things that they have been releasing. One that I will share with you right now, it's their product called Vid2Pod, V-I-D, the number 2, P-O-D. It's giving users the ability to take their YouTube playlist of podcast episodes, providing the link to that playlist to this Vid2Pod tool, and it will, within an hour, depending on how much content you have, the example I saw, it was 20 minutes, it will convert all of that, all of those videos into audio and distribute them via RSS feed as an audio podcast. So this, to me, opens doors for those who have been, say, only video podcasting, maybe not using audio, and now they can quickly convert all of the episodes that they've put up on YouTube specifically and turn them into audio and get them distributed on all of the audio platforms. And then moving forward, anytime you add a new video to your YouTube playlist, it will automatically convert that one and distribute that one to those audio platforms like Apple, Spotify, etc. Vid2Pod. Okay, that's wrapping the news for today. A reminder that tomorrow we have Lloyd George joining us. We'll be getting to know Lloyd a bit. We'll be talking all things podcasting and get a taste of his world in podcasting, and we'll talk a little bit about the Empowered Podcasting event that he has been such an integral part of. I'm having trouble talking today. That he's been such an integral part of the planning process. So looking forward to that. Hope you are too. Would love for you to join us, get to know Lloyd, get to know more about our Empowered Podcasting event. That is tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern. And until then, make it a great day, everybody. Take care. And leave us a review, won't you?